Edmonton cops chase a man into the river where he likely died. Thunder Bay in-house legal counsel for the police charged in criminal probe. Canadian company misidentifies fathers in faulty DNA tests. Flooding in Russia and Kazakhstan, and Lufthansa cancels flights into Tehran. Good morning. It's Thursday, April 11th. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. First to Edmonton, where Emily Mertz with Global News is reporting that police chased a man who fell into the North Saskatchewan River and quote-unquote disappeared. Mertz doesn't explain why they chased him. She said that he was, quote, trying to evade officers, unquote, which of course makes it sound like it's the man's own fault and not the police's fault. But anyway, ACERT is investigating. The guy was originally stopped by police for breaking a bylaw at 2:15 a.m. He was on his bike. Mertz doesn't report what the broken bylaw was, whether he was riding a bike without lights or some other petty grievance that police used as an excuse to harass the man. The police, quote, turned on their lights and told the man to stop, unquote. Rather than stopping, he rode away into the ravine. The article is written in passive voice, and so somehow the man and the police meet again on the riverbank. We're not told how, we're just supposed to assume this is like normal, that he runs into the ravine and then the police and him end up on the riverbank. The man, quote, jumped from the bank onto the river ice and drifted away from shore, unquote. That is how police described it. And then he was pulled underwater and, quote, has not been located, unquote, despite river recovery efforts. The man's body has not yet been found, but the way that this is reported is wild. The police chased a man to his death over a bylaw infraction, but the police managed to keep the blame on the man rather than on themselves, and Mertz is playing along. If the man was not white, was randomly stopped by police in the middle of the night, and then they chased him to his death, this would be an extreme act of racial violence. And if he was white, it would be an extreme act of police brutality. Either way, the story is pretty horrific, but all we have is the side of the police, which makes it sound routine and normal and a misadventure. Here's hoping that we get more information about what's happened and about who the individual was soon. Next to Thunder Bay and Thunder Bay Police, another police force that is known for killing Indigenous people. There, Holly Walborn, the former in-house lawyer for the Thunder Bay Police, has been charged with obstruction of justice, breach of trust, and obstructing a public or peace officer. The Thunder Bay Police Force is notorious for their corruption, brutality, and disrespect towards Indigenous people. And they've been the subject of an OPP investigation that has already resulted in the arrest of Michael Dimini, reports Jordan Olmsted with the Canadian Press. Olmsted doesn't say who Dimini is, and so I had to look him up and see that he is a staff sergeant with the Thunder Bay Police. Dimini's been charged with assault, breach of trust, and obstruction of justice. The police have not said what the investigation is about, just that the Ministry of the Attorney General back in 2021 asked for misconduct allegations to be investigated in the Thunder Bay Police Department. Walborn has not worked for the Thunder Bay Police for almost a year officially, though after she quit, she did work for them on retainer. And she was hired in the meantime as in-house counsel for the Waterloo Police, a detail that isn't mentioned in the story. Next to a CBC investigation from Jorge Barrera and Rachel Houlihan that has found that a company called ViaGuard Acumetrics, a Canadian DNA company, has been giving paternity tests to people even though they knew that the tests routinely misidentified the biological fathers. ViaGuard Acumetrics also sells tests through Prenatal Paternities Inc. and Paternity Depot. Which is like, folks, with a name like that, you should not be asking them for such vital information. Paternity Depot? Oh my God. Harvey Tenenbaum is the owner of the company. He's 91 and is still active in managing it. He told an undercover CBC reporter all about the problems that they've had with his tests, including at the moment of birth, like this. Tenenbaum says, quote, that has happened. Test the white guy and the baby comes out black. And the white guy's saying, what's going on here? Unquote. It's pretty wild he admits all of this to an undercover journalist. The tests sold for between $800 and $1,000, and CBC talked to customers across Canada and even the world that found that people had faulty results. They talked to one woman in North Bay who was told through the tests that someone was the father of her baby when he was not, and that led to a situation where she was trying to convince the wrong man to take responsibility for the baby. Former staff explained that in some cases, clients were asked details about their last period and when they had sex and with who, and Tannenbaum would just guess who the father was. There were also problems with the DNA tests because they required more blood than people actually were giving through the mail-ordered tests. They talked with one man who was told that he was the father of a baby who was not actually his son. He was just 21 years old. He was forced to change the tattoo that he got of his son's name, which is Travis, which is on his bicep, to the word travesty when he found out. CBC has a picture of the tattoo. In 2015, the company lost accreditation from the Standards Council of Canada after many complaints, but the company has continued to operate, including through creating these new virtual storefronts. This is a pretty obvious example of what happens when healthcare services are not offered for free by the public health system. Nailing people when they're desperate for answers, extorting them, and lying to them is pretty low, but there will always be low lives looking to make a buck. Sure, Vanguard was not allowed to operate in Canada, but there would be no market in Canada for this if people could simply ask a health clinic for a free paternity test and get one immediately. Next to Russia, where the Ural River has broken its banks, forcing 110,000 people to evacuate in Russia. Floods are also impacting communities in Kazakhstan, where more than 97,000 people have evacuated. The Russian city of Orenburg has been hit particularly hard. The flood is being caused by meltwater and has impacted the communities in the Ural Mountains, Siberia, Volga, and Kazakhstan. Reuters reports that this is the worst flooding on record. The Kremlin is expecting things to get worse for Tyumen in Siberia and the Urals region of Kurgan. Russian officials blame the flooding on waterlogged soil that froze when winter came and then fast melts because of higher than usual spring temperatures. And finally, Reuters is also reporting that Lufthansa has suspended flights to Tehran. A report in Arabic posted to Twitter by Iranian news agency last night said that all airspace over Tehran had been closed, but the report was quickly deleted and then the agency denied having reported this. Only Lufthansa and its subsidiary Austrian Airlines runs flights from Tehran to any Western country. Tensions are high because Israel bombed the Iranian embassy in Syria, killing 16 people. Iran has promised to respond to the attack. Those are your headlines for Thursday, April 11th. I'm Nora. You are listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed or anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful Thursday. Friday is in sight. The week is almost behind us. I will talk to you tomorrow.